You are listening to the Backstage Pass podcast, hosted by Hannah Tridwell and brought to you by Tommen.
The Backstage Pass podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Ben Sharp about how he works as a full-time drummer, from learning to recording sessions from home and performing live. Ben Sharp, hello.
Hello.
So I best know you as a drummer who's played live and in session. How did you first get into drumming?
I started in secondary school, in year seven. You start a new school, you make new friends. I made a new friend. I went to his birthday party and he had a drum kit because his dad was like a bit of a rocker. So immediately I was just drawn to this drum kit. And yeah, they let me have a go. And then I went home, told my parents I needed to get a drum kit for my birthday, and they got me one. And
wow,
literally, yeah, that was it. We were on.
Like an acoustic kit?
Yeah, acoustic kit straight away. I was really fortunate to grow up in a detached house, so my neighbours were spread away and my parents just let me go to town.
You said that you started off with an acoustic kit. Do you think it's better to start off with an acoustic kit rather than an electric one?
I don't really think it makes a difference now. Obviously,
do you not?
I mean, the electric kits nowadays are so good, like if you get the high-end ones, which if you're starting out, you're probably not going to get a high-end one. But honestly, as long as you're getting a bit of playing on an acoustic kit, I think you're fine to practice on an electric kit because you can develop all the fundamentals. You know, you can start working on your technique with your hands and you can get your coordination down so you can practice all the exercises and whatnot you need to. You will, like most people who do have an electric kit, generally prefer our lessons on an acoustic kit. When they come to school, they're buzzing to be sat behind a kit and actually hearing it and playing it on a real kit. Because it does feel different.
Yeah.
If you've got a cheap electric kit and a normal acoustic kit, the feel is totally different. If you're just starting out and you're playing on an electric kit, you'll be able to play some beats and feel pretty damn good about yourself. And then you might sit on an acoustic kit and it won't quite feel just as good yet. So you have to like grind away a bit more. Developing a feel is what I'm getting at, I think.
Yeah.
It's easier to develop a better feel on an acoustic kit, I think.
That's interesting. I've never really thought about that before.
Having an electric kit to start with, I think, is good. But
okay.
So it's having an acoustic kit. I think electric kits are great because you can develop all the fundamentals so you can work on your coordination, which is like a really, really big thing. Literally, I come in my shed regularly before work, so I'm in here at like 7 a.m.
I mean, you call it a shed, but I feel like you can't call it a shed anymore because I saw you post about it on Instagram, I think, as you were building it and stuff. And it kind of was a really good shed, but now it's like almost its own.
It's an extension.
It's a little studio, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an extension to me. It's a whole other room to my house, essentially, but just in the garden,
which is
wicked. But so I'll come in here like before work at like 7 a.m. And I'm not going to play my full kit at 7 a.m. because I like my neighbours too. But I will play on like my pads. So I've got like a drum pedal pad on the right, one on the left, and just a pad there. And I'll work on my fundamentals with that, like my coordination stuff. And electric kits, it's just like doing that, except you've actually got the sound of your kit in there as well.
You recently told me that, and we won't say who it is because it's not been announced yet, but that you're about to play a big, big session for someone. As a Radio 1, BBC Radio 1 live lounge session.
Yeah.
Are you nervous about that?
Yeah. Well, I've never been to Radio 1.
Do you still get
one,
nervous?
Yeah, I do, fully. Especially if something I really care about. Like, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that. When I got the call for that, it was a big woo, like a big moment of wow, okay, cool.
Do you think that you'd ever be a touring drummer?
You know, like I'd love to have a mix of everything. I always used to, if you asked me that 10 years ago, I'd have been like, yes, that is what I want to do. I want to tour the world and that's it. I'm 30 now and I've got a house and a girlfriend that I live with and I make a nice income talking about drums and I love drums and I love talking about drums. If I'm just strictly touring with one band, then I always feel like I'm actually not even going to be playing the kit as much as I would if I'm at home. And that's like, I love playing the drums so much that I'm not saying no, because, you know, if that gig came up, then I don't know, it'd be a tough conversation.
You don't actually play that much music when you're on tour. Even if say you do like a couple of radio sessions in the day and then you play at night, you're going to be really playing music for less than 2-3 hours a day. And you do so much more than that now.
That's it. You're going to have your sound checks and then you're going to have your show. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be happy like with my pads and whatnot. Remote recording has been around for a while, but it's taken off now. It's at another level, isn't it?
Because
you've got all it takes is you need a laptop and an interface and a few mics and boom, off you go. Like, you could, electric kits come in really handy again, because even the £150 ones have got MIDI inputs. Bosh that into Logic. You've got your Logic sounds, or you bought a drum pack and you've got some wicked drum sounds, and you can legit record pro sounding drums on your £150 Alesis or whatever kit, name no brands, I don't know, at home, and Bob's your uncle, man. Or you can spend thousands of pounds on mics and record your acoustic kits.
Game changer. Do you play any other kind of drums?
Well, I mean, I can play a cajon. I'm not a cajon expert.
Okay. I feel like there's a bit of a stigma around cajons at the moment. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of hate on cajons online recently.
I mean, I'll never post hate online about it, but I would tell you that I don't like cajons.
Right.
I'd just rather play a kit like really quietly. Learn how to play the drums super quietly, and then you don't need a cajon. Every time I record my snare as well at the minute, I've been like layering it up with like just old drum heads, just putting them on top. It just thickens the sound, makes it really, really fat.
That's cool. That's a good tip.
Cheeky little tips. Yeah, if you want your snare to sound much more 80s, just bang on another old head on top of it. Like, cut it into the right size, stick it on. Boosh. Gives you a right
nice
fat sound. Yeah. My ride cymbal I've got at the minute, I'm going to show you it because it's so nice, mate. Look at that. Looks like people are like, where
looks
did
like
you
something
get
out of Lord of the Rings.
I know, right? It literally looks like I've like dug it up out of my garden or something. it's super dry and I love it.
Yeah.
But absolutely not appropriate for all stuff. Like, that wouldn't go down in certain settings, but it would go down super well in other settings.
You're someone who has like stuck to their instrument like mad, really, and just carried on honing your craft. And I know that you're really passionate about it and could talk about this stuff forever. Is there one particular thing that fascinates you more than the rest about drumming and about drums?
Yeah, but it kind of relates.
I see you
to
trying
like
out a lot of like beats and stuff, you know, little like rhythm changes and all that kind of thing.
Like, I always feel like my whole purpose in this world is just to get better at things, because it's the only time that I'm really present. Otherwise, I'll be like, if I'm like walking down the street, I'm thinking about something. When I'm sat at my drums, then I'm like, and I'm working on an exercise, I'm fully present, because I have to be able to get better at that exercise. And I'll just drill things over and over and over, and it makes me feel good. So that's like, literally, that's why I play the drums, because it makes me feel good. I love grooves. At the minute, I'm just really into people who groove. I'm going to give you a list of people, or I'm going to give you one guy to check out. No, I'm going to give you three guys to check out in terms of grooves. There's this guy on Instagram to check out, Carter McLean. He's just the grooviest mofo. He's bad.
Really?
Like, so good, yeah. Just so good. And then Benny Greb as well, like, he's just the Don. He's kind of the Don of drums at the minute. He's just like ruling, and rightly so, because he's so good.
I love just seeing something like that on Instagram, or like, especially it tends to happen with me with like drums, or particularly bassists as well. If they're if they film like a groove video and you just end up like getting the face and like
getting it's that stank just face. Great. Yeah, I've just started filming loads of bassists and just my evenings are now spent watching a lot of bassists just shred. It's that little kid called Aaron the Bassist on Instagram.
I just started following him as well. Like I was just about to say about him. He's
you ever seen
so
anyone
good.
Groove so hard at 8 though? It's like amazing.
And he's like his head's like I mean he's really like getting it and it's. I mean, I hope he carries on, but if he does, he's going to be seriously, like, ridiculous when he's older.
Dave Grohl just put up a video, like, a reaction to hers and shredded along to a track of his as well. Because she did a track.
Oh, nice.
And he put one back. But, yeah, she's a little rocker, like, honestly. Crushing the rock game. Rock and roll, she is. she's going to be killing it. I love seeing young kids who are, like, shredders because, not just shredded, but who are, like, just super into it because you don't get that good like without putting in time as well. You can be naturally good at something but you know they've put in time on that and they must love it to have put in that time. That's what I always think.
One of my final questions is what is your track of the week?
Nice. Yusef Days and Tom Misch, Tidal Wave.
I think that might be on my current like favorites playlist, you know.
Nice. Yeah, they just brought an album out.
Tom Misch is so solid. Yeah. So good.
When he's got Yusef Days on drums as well. Oh my god, it's so good. Have you heard of Yusef Days before?
Really?
Yeah.
He's
killing it at the minute. Yeah. He's so good. That whole album's really, really good. It's my go-to at the minute. Not just that one song. Listen to the whole album. Yeah, it's wicked.
I'll check it out. And what is the best lesson that you've learned in your career so far?
The best lesson I've learned in my career? In terms of, like, progressing at what I do or in terms of, like, the best lesson I've learned? Be a good dude and be good at your job. Like, be good at what you do and be a good guy, be humble and people are going to want to work with you. If you're looking to get more work, you've got it's as much about your craft as you being a good dude, I'm sure. Like my work all comes through word of mouth. As much as we like Instagram or whatnot, like literally 95% of my work comes through word of mouth. So.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said by just seeing people in real life. I mean, like, you can see if a drummer's good on Instagram, but you can't necessarily tell if they're a nice person. So somebody who gives you a recommendation of a session player or a teacher or whatever it might be, if you get a recommendation of a friend, you at least know that the friend thinks that that person is a good person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if your friend thinks they're a good person, then you know they're your friend, so you're going to trust their judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
My friends, I've got this old group of friends, a bit relevant this, but I've got an old group of friends and we'll meet each other like twice a year and then there'll be a new person each time we meet and it's because someone else has like met a friend and brought them along and then all of a sudden this guy's like a best mate as well. But it's so weird like that, isn't it? Weird world.
Yeah, you trust your friends, don't you, on their perceptions of people, I guess.
Fully.
Well, thanks so much for speaking to me. It's been awesome. I will let you get back to your drumming.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.